All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's Friday, and it is the day of the big game tonight, the big weekend here in Minute Maid Park. Your Astros hosting the Dodgers in Game 3 of the World Series, and it is with great pleasure I say the band is back together. Not that we don't love Tyler, but my man Nick Sciarra is back at the studio, and we are happy as all get out that Nick is back with us. Nicholas, welcome back. We wish we were there in studio with you instead of at Revelry, but we missed you, man.
No, it's been a minute, but I'm glad the show was. I listened when I could when I was out of town, but it sounded like the show was rolling. It was doing good things, and plus the Astros are doing good things, so it has to be a good show.
Welcome back, my friend.
What up, Barry?
We missed you. Yeah, we. It's not the same. It's not the usual suspects without you. It's kind of. But not the same. So good to have you back. Glad you're back behind the glass.
Good. How's Revelry?
Revelry, you know, I like this place a lot. Well, we were here for the Final Four. That was fun. There's going to be a different show, though. There's going to be no cursing.
Yeah, it was a different environment all the way around last time we were here.
Yeah, Joel said the most inappropriate things on air I've ever heard. Yeah. And I was ashamed.
Burped.
But we don't have to endure that today, so that's good. But this place is nice, man. If you've never been out here, you need to get out here, watch the game, come kick it with us, get some beers.
I'm telling you what, they're doing it right here, too. If you don't know Revelry on Richmond, right here on the outskirts of Midtown, it is a fantastic place every single day. But for the playoff games now and for the World Series, I mean, they've got a big screen TV outside. They've got a tailgating atmosphere outside. Inside, plenty of TVs, great food and drink. Lots of good stuff going on and lots of good scenery. So if you need a place to go watch the games this weekend, this is the place to be.
I was going to say, last time we were here, I don't want to – there was a lot of females in the building towards, you know, some of the later games. So
there's only one way to verify that.
Get down here.
Juggalo Trey was actually maneuvering on a female the last time we were here, and we were all in plain sight for all of us to see. You know that there's scenery when Juggalo Trey was trying to work some magic.
Well, I don't know if that's how I would promote hot females by ones that would actually sit down and give Juggalo Trey the time of day. But
some people are polite.
They do. Well, yeah, you're right. Maybe it was pity. Maybe it was done out of pity. I don't know. But, yeah, you need to get down here, especially if you don't have anywhere to watch the game and you enjoy nice scenery. Get down here for the game.
1613 Richmond Avenue. It's Richmond and Dunleavy. It is conveniently located near downtown Midtown. And it, like I said, all weekend long, it is going to be a party. They're going to have a tailgate party in the parking lot. Nachos, Frito pies, and hot dogs for a buck. Discounted Houston brews, Crush City shot specials. Everything going on, so you want to be here at Revelry all weekend long. This is the spot to be if you don't have a ticket to the game to make sure you catch all of the action. And with that said, you know, we're doing a lot of these Academy appearances based on the fact that the Academy is the shop here in town that is making sure they have all the Astros playoff gear.
All of it. Gear.
I was there last night.
Yep.
I did an appearance from 6 to 8.
Did you kiss a lot of hands and shake a lot of babies?
Raheel was doing that. So after he got done, I basically got some tissues to clean up a little bit of the mess. And then basically just greeted. We had a lot of listeners.
Good.
That stopped by. One of the things I did was I said, since Barry can't be here, the first person after 6:30 that gets to me and says, Barry needs a hug.
I hate you.
Will get a $50 gift card to Academy. Lo and behold, at like 6:31, this car's going 70 in the parking lot and like screeches to a halt in front of the front doors. And I said to the marketing team, I go, she's going to scream Barry needs a hug. And lo and behold, she did. And she goes, did I win? And I go, yeah, you did.
Nice.
That she didn't hold back.
That's
so I gave her the gift card.
That's great and creepy all at the same time.
Yeah, it was a little of both.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Well,
Drew was there early, and then the girls took over, and there was a lot of the loyals, and there were some. that literally came out of the woodwork.
That's great, man. Well, you're a popular dude, Joel. Wow, dude. You know what I mean?
I think they were all looking for you.
No. They knew I wouldn't be there. You're popular.
So, no. As part of it, though, I was going to tell you, so I experienced Grand Theft Astros.
Okay.
So we're kind of positioned. We had the tent up and everything, the ESPN tent. We're right there outside the front doors, meeting and greeting, giving away stuff. And I'm talking to the girls on our marketing team, and all of a sudden I look to my right, and a gentleman is walking out of the store with a cart with probably 6 boxes of Nike shoes, and the whole thing loaded to the gills with, like, Astros World Series merch, all kinds of stuff. And I said to him, I said to the girl, I said, anything look funny about that? She's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, none of it's in bags. And she goes, well, yeah, I guess. And all of a sudden, like, this car comes zipping up to the front door, slams on the brakes. He throws open the back door. In about 30 seconds, he takes everything that was in the cart, gets it in the back seat of the car. The driver goes to the passenger seat. He jumps in. He punches it. A truck is coming. Literally like Grand Theft Auto. He swerves 2 to 3 times right to the feeder road, and he's gone.
What the hell?
And that's what I said. I'm like, what the hell? And this couple's walking to me, and she goes, did you just see that? And I go, yeah, I want to make sure I wasn't the only one. She goes, well, out of his pocket fell the remote to a Mercedes-Benz with, like, looks like a house key on it. And I'm like, yeah, whoops. So we had to go inside and tell the managers, and the cops came, and they were looking at security footage. And the cops said he couldn't get the license plate, but they thought that they might be able to do something.
Wow.
Grand Theft Astros in the middle of the World Series. Like, we had some action.
You witnessed a crime.
It's nuts.
Now, if I asked you to, like, describe the guy, you know, you ever seen those 2020s where they're like, you know, they'll test people, like, they'll have somebody run in and snatch a person, run out, and they'll be like, what did he look like? He was 5'1" and green, and he had 9 hands, and they have no idea what they saw. You know what I mean? Like, if I asked you to describe him,
I think I could do it.
You really?
Yeah.
What did he look like?
6'2" African-American man in his 50s with a cowboy hat about the size of the state of Texas,
okay,
which means he was not trying to hide for some reason or another, with some snuggly jeans and some
have camel toe?
Very quick feet.
Could you see his camel toe?
I
Is that what you're saying?
For that, sir.
Okay.
No, if there was any inventory to be taken on that kind of stuff, I'll leave that to the professionals.
All right, so a big cowboy.
Yeah, the cowboy hat was like, if you're going inconspicuous normally, if you're doing
something
like
usually you'd go, like, you know, black ball cap with the glasses or something like that.
Yeah.
Not cowboy
fake
hat.
Fake beard.
Yeah. That's weird.
So, yeah, anyway, we're going to be here till 4 o'clock, and then we'll turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. So we'll be broadcasting live from 97.5 all the way to 7 o'clock tonight here at Revelry here on Richmond. So you should come out and join us. Fred and AJ will be here, as well as Barry and myself. Stop on by, say hi, and grab some great food and beverage before the Astros game. Right now I want to tell you guys what's going on in the city this weekend besides baseball, and that is Saturday, tomorrow, there is a Horses and Goddesses Gala in Magnolia, Texas, that you can be involved in. It's a great event. It's a great fundraiser. Lots of good food and drink. And during the day, it's incredible equestrian events out in Magnolia. A world-class field competing for over $100,000 in prize money. And all those events are free. You just need tickets to the gala if you want to go to that at night. And it's all available via harriscup.com. All you got to do is go to harascup.com and check out tickets for the gala. They're going fast. There still are some remaining. So if you want to check that out, that'd be great. But otherwise, the equestrian events are all free. Check it out. Go to harriscup.com for more information. The Horses and Goddesses Gala in Magnolia.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I am from Texas, and I'm Mexican. I know I look like a Jew. Just stop now. All right, let it go. In every Mexican family in Texas, we all have that one racist white uncle. It's amazing. If you tell him a racist joke, he doesn't even laugh. He's just like, I know!
keep trying to warn everybody about.
That's good stuff. It's an F-Yeah Friday here on The Usual Suspects as we continue to roll on. And part of the F in F-Yeah has been funny, as Barry came up with a great idea a few weeks ago that we're going to kind of preview and promote some comedians, either with some local ties or that might be coming through the area. And we just happened to be that lucky. That was Jerry Rocha. He is from Big D, but he has a Netflix special out called The Gentleman. He's got an album on iTunes that you may want to tell the listeners the
yeah.
name of.
It starts with Pickle, and we'll just say Pickle D. How about that? Okay. You can't finish it, but it is on iTunes. Yeah, he's also done Conan. The clips we'll be playing today was from his Conan appearance. But he hooked up with Gabriel Iglesias in L.A., and he's been doing a bunch of stuff with him, and that's how he got his Netflix special shot. So, yeah, he's at the Joke Joint this weekend. I featured for him when I was in Dallas, and he's a huge sports fan.
Okay.
And so I was like, yeah, man, you got to come on the show, and we'll promote your show at the Joke Joint, but we got to talk sports, too. So he'll be joining us at about 3:30, and then at 3:45, I'm going to let him do my picks for me.
Oh, are you?
I need help. So
now,
I'm
do they
let...
count?
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're going to count. Whatever okay. he picks, I'm going to roll with. So Jerry's going to be picking for me. I'm calling the lefty from the bullpen.
Nick, you know what that means, right? That means, like, at the end of the year when Barry just absolutely sucks and he's in last place for
he's
the
got
picks,
that
he's
built
gonna
in
blame
excuse.
Jerry. Yeah, he's blaming Jerry.
Hey, I mean, what can I say? It's not my fault y'all didn't think of this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're out to the big lead anyways, Joel. I need help. I have to go to the bullpen early, so. Yeah, but he'll be joining
you,
us,
you can
huh?
Be, you can be Doc Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers. You can go to that bullpen early and often and just drain it.
Yeah. Did you watch the game last night?
I did, off and on, because it was such a blowout. I didn't watch consistently. But my goodness, I mean, the only thing that's going to stick out for me is the hit.
Well, 40-0 will stick out, but yeah, the hit was ridiculous.
It really was.
I mean, I don't know where you stand on was it dirty or not, but just the fact that he went straight to the head with the shoulder, and it looked like forearm at first too, but that's the part that's ridiculous to me. Whether you want to say it's dirty or he slid late, I think this is one of those close calls. But I mean, where do you stand? What do you think?
Look, I heard his comments after the game. It's the only reason that I stuck around was I was wanting to see what he had to say. He said, look, he couldn't pull up, which I call BS on.
Okay.
I also think that if he was going to hit him, you knew he was going feet first. The rule clearly states from the rule book, any contact with head and shoulders, regardless, will be called. If you can't pull up, but you make contact with the guy, that's where it becomes interpretation by the referee. But I got a kick out of all these people trying to say what a great dude he is. His reputation is not good, and I thought that was a maliciously dirty play. I thought he should have been thrown out, and I definitely think he should be fined, if not suspended.
It's interesting because I was watching, I don't know if it was SportsCenter or who I was watching, but somebody was talking about the fact that they're told, like when they play the Ravens, hey, Flacco's going to slide late. He's not good at sliding, number one, and he is. He's atrocious at sliding, but he's going to do it late, so you've got to either be careful or just commit, because he may not slide when you expect and get a few extra yards. So I can see why that kind of puts you in a predicament, especially if your coaches are telling you he's not going to slide when he's supposed to. So do you just let up and let him get the first down? Because he was close to a first down.
Well, you can read his lips, too, because that's the first thing that he was trying to tell both Harbaugh, who went nuts on the sidelines, and the officiating crew was, I knew where the first down marker
yeah.
was, and he was going for it.
And that's the thing that I think is getting lost in this. When you got a guy that's not good at sliding, he doesn't do it when it's appropriate, and you're that close to the first down mark. Now, if this was in the middle of the field and nothing was, you know what I mean, then maybe. But he's trying to prevent that first down. I think, like they said on the broadcast, or Harbaugh said afterwards, he was penalized appropriately. I think so. I mean, I don't think he should have been ejected. I don't think it was necessarily malicious or dirty. But he did hit him in the helmet. So by the rule, you're right. He got what he deserved as far as the penalty goes. But man, when it's that close to the first down, I don't blame
him. So no ejection, no suspension?
No, I don't think so. I think he will be suspended, but I don't think he should be.
I think if you look at the play that the Danny Trevathan got drilled for on the Devontae Adams hit.
Right.
He got suspended for it. It started out at 2, reduced to 1.
Yep.
I think when you see something like that and then you see something like this, you got to believe he's going to get at least one game.
That's a good point.
But I do agree with you. He slid late. But I also think when you look at the replays, because I'm just trying to base it on real speed because I know that's what the officials are looking at. When you look at it in replay, he does kind of look for the shoulder head area, and he does kind of lean. If he didn't lean and he was just going full speed and kind of relaxed and let his body go, I get it.
But here's the problem. what area do you have to tackle at that point? If you're going for a tackle, when you start, he's still upright, right? Because he slid late. So he's basically, his trajectory of that tackle is at his waist or his chest at the very least. So when he hits the ground at the last minute, he's basically flying towards the head at that point. His head ended up where his body and his torso used to be, and that's where he got hit. So again, I mean, you can't avoid the penalty. You have to throw it there, but I don't know. I don't think that he was doing anything malicious, but that's just me, and I think I'm in the minority on that. I think most people feel like it was malicious and dirty, and he should be suspended. So I see why.
Here's what I really like. I liked Harbaugh's passion.
Yeah.
I like the fact that there's a coach that says, I don't care if I'm supposed to or not. And I also like the offensive lineman that went, and if you watch that replay carefully, he drilled Alonzo. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And then he and another teammate were all over him. And I think the referees thought about throwing the penalty, but didn't throw it there because they could even appreciate, hey, regardless of what happens, that's your quarterback. You know he's out for the rest of the game, and you know that it's going to tick off some of his teammates. So the fact of the matter is they let that part of it go, which I totally agree with too.
Do you?
I do. I really do. Because of the fact that I'll go back to the exact example. I have friends within the circles of the Green Bay Packers that were irate that when Rodgers was hit, for one reason or another, right or wrong, clean or dirty, that someone didn't do the exact same thing to Anthony Barr and go at him immediately. You'd never see Mike McCarthy do that. You didn't see any of the players do that. And it really put a rift in the locker room to some degree. So with that being said, that's why I liked everything that happened, and I appreciate from an official standpoint that they decided to not throw that second flag.
Okay. I mean, yeah, let's go ahead and take Vince. You want to take Vince?
Ahead. Yeah, Vince, what's up?
Vince,
you there?
Oh, yeah.
You're live.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that hit last night. I mean, it's the old school mentality type of deal. You got to get away from the head. It's the only area that if you get laid out real bad, you can actually puke. You never puke when you get your ACL torn. And if you look at it, I mean, you can pull up. He said it was a bang-bang play, but I used to play football in high school, a little bit in college, and you know, you can make those split decisions. You're taught to react fast. So he should have pulled up. It was nasty, and there's no room for that in the game today.
Okay.
Thanks, Vince. Appreciate the call. Look, I agree with you that it's a fair question. Like, where else would you hit him? But I think when you look at the replay, like I said, if he just relaxed and let his momentum go into him, that's one thing. But it looked like he had intent the way he kind of leaned in on that shoulder and the side of his head.
Only thing I dispute really with what you're saying is that he should have been – that you're okay with them not penalizing the Ravens for basically, you know, attacking him and Ndamukong Suh coming in. He didn't get a penalty.
Yeah, that was another one.
Yeah, and so I think if you're going to call that penalty, you need to go ahead and call them all. I feel like, I mean, all of those are penalties. How many times in a game or in a fight or a scrum in the NFL is it the second guy that gets the penalty?
Yeah.
You got to throw a flag no matter what. Now, the bad thing would be is those would offset. So that really, you're starting to affect the game by not calling it, because technically I guess those would have offset and you would have, you know, replayed the down or whatever.
And then it's
Dolphins because they knock out Flacco. But I think you got to call all the penalties there, don't you? You got to warn everybody. I mean, you got to kind of take control there. You're letting those guys start attacking each other. That's not a good thing.
And you hit it right on the head. That's the other thing. If it ends up being offsetting, then there's really and you don't throw him out.
Yep.
Now there's really no ramifications for what he just did. So I think in part two, that's what the officials are thinking, because of the fact that, look, that was a bang-bang thing. And it was just like the guys immediately upon the hit went and hit him. And it wasn't like it could have gotten out of hand, but at least it wasn't like it wasn't, because, you know, the other rule is if they start piling on each other and anybody that starts to try and pull somebody off, they're going to get another penalty. And then I think all hell breaks loose anyway. But for a 40-0 game, there was plenty of things to talk about, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, what the hell happened to the Dolphins? How do you let Ryan Mallett throw a touchdown pass on you? I don't care if he's on the half-foot line. How come he couldn't do that while he was here in Houston?
Because his alarm clock didn't work.
I guess, man.
And for all the people that were so thankful that Jay Cutler was out, that didn't work out so well with Matt Moore.
Yeah.
That's ugly, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
– it's funny because everyone was like, hey, Matt Moore. And I was like, man, Matt Moore might be the guy. Maybe they regret going out and getting Cutler and not giving Matt Moore the opportunity. And then you watch the game and you go, Okay, I see why they did that. Yeah,
yeah.
I get it now. That makes sense. Maybe they're smarter than us, huh? Okay.
Phony balonies. I mean, I thought that they actually might be a decent team. And, boy, pretenders and then some. That's just terrible. All right, so Vince already chimed in. Was the first call of the day, but we'd like to have more. You know that we call this show The Usual Suspects for a reason because you guys are great participants throughout the show. You can text us. You can call us. That's 713-780-3776 or 713-780-ESPN. That's the HR&P listener line. And, of course, you can get us on Twitter at the producer Nick. It is with great pleasure that I say that, as well as at Barry is funny and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. You can reach us throughout the show, and we'll do our best to respond to you. Right now, I want to tell you about the place I was at last night that I was talking about. That's Academy Sports and Outdoors. It is the place to go for all of your Astros gear for the World Series. It's the big series this weekend. It's three games in a row at Minute Maid Park. And if you want the right gear at the right price and know that the shelves are always going to be stocked for you, there's only one place to go, and that's Academy Sports and Outdoors. There was a steady flow last night of people in and out of that store all looking for Astros gear, and they continually, every day and throughout the day, restock their shelves and their tables to make sure that they have the gear that you need so that you can get it and not get turned away when you're trying to represent your city and your team at the best time to be a baseball fan. So check out all the gear at one of your local Academy Sports and Outdoor stores and then cheer on the Astros throughout the weekend. Academy is the official sports and outdoor store and sporting goods retailer of your Houston Astros. So head out to Academy and get your gear for the Astros right now.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, that's why we love The Suspects. That's you, the good listeners of this show. I told you about how many people came out last night to say hey and what's up when I was at Academy. But even better, the people at Revelry are here, and they are a part of the show. And when they have spoken, we have listened, and that's why we love The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Joel, it's Nick back at the station as we continue to roll on with the first hour of the three-hour big show. We're talking about the football game because we've already gotten a lot of Astros talk on the station throughout the day, and we'll get to that. But one of the things that I thought was absolutely hilarious, and one of the things in my experiences in working with ex-athletes in sports and getting them in the broadcast booth is that whole first year or two when they're getting their feet wet and kind of understanding how broadcasting works, if you're, like, in the moment, there can be some really awkward situations.
Right.
But if you're, like, watching from afar or later on when you look back at them, you can laugh and, like, understand that the athletes themselves have to realize it's really an art form. There's a lot that goes on into it. But last night, if you didn't catch it, Steve Smith and Michael Irvin and Marshall Faulk were all on NFL Network. And Michael Irvin, I think I want to say completely harmlessly, wanted to have some fun with Steve Smith. And let me also say this. The first time I saw Steve Smith on, he was doing a post game a couple games ago. And for some reason, he didn't have, or his microphone wasn't working right, and he didn't realize like which camera angle he was on, so it wasn't a tight shot, it was a wide shot. And he starts like slamming stuff down, and he wants the microphone to work, and he's like, what the? And he's like literally, and they're killing his mic, but you can hear him with the other mics. And you're like, okay, that's awesome. But for the people that are the producer and the director are absolutely freaking out because
right.
This guy's losing his stuff. Last night, they do a split screen, and Michael Irvin wants to have a little fun with Steve Smith's attire. And you can we'll play it first, but you tell me. I don't think Steve was joking.
Speaking of fresh, I hear Michael Irvin has something to say to Steve Smith once again, I assume.
Trust me. Listen, I have to apologize to Steve. Steve, I got to apologize. My wife loves you, and she got mad at me for messing with you. She's going to make me sleep on the couch if I mess with you anymore, so I'm not going to say anything about those pants you have on. I'm not going to say anything. about those fans.
You know what, Mike? I'm going to let you know right now. When I come to L.A., I'm going to whoop your ass.
And you know what? Steve's wife picked up his pants. So I think Steve's wife is going to have a problem with you as well, Michael. So you're in the doghouse.
Don't hit me on the couch.
I'm going to just whoop your ass when I see you.
She just needs to be on the couch. Yes.
I ain't got no time for this.
All right, well, we are...
Steve is not happy.
No, he actually dropped an S-bomb after that. They dropped the mic on him in time. But if you looked at his facial expressions, too, you realized there wasn't a single ounce of joking in Steve Smith.
I don't know that there really is. Have you ever seen him jumping around and be like, he was really intense on the football field.
Yep.
He was really intense post-game and in interviews. And that's an intense dude. And, I mean, sometimes... You know, sometimes guys don't know how to take a joke, and you have – I mean, it's going to happen. There's going to be that mix-up, you know what I mean? But when you realize it, you kind of have to back off, and that's the thing. Irvin wasn't backing off.
No.
And nobody else was, so that'll be interesting.
I'm going to let you know I'd like to see it happen.
You like?
I'm not a big Michael Irvin fan as it is, and I don't know how much he likes to run his mouth. I've seen him in certain circumstances where I wish someone would have whooped his ass.
Yeah.
But you're right, because Steve Smith on the football field, and you talk to guys where late in his career, I want to say it was when he was with Carolina, and it was someone within his division, but they got into it, and he said, and when it got personal, he was like, no one likes you. Everyone knows you talk on every play. Everyone wants to beat your ass. So
it's crazy.
That's the clash of two personalities where I just hope NFL somehow the NFL Network's rolling on that, because that would be fantastic.
Man, I wonder I wonder if they're going to let them now get together. Or would you – if you're the director, do you kind of – because if we're talking about it and they're trying to draw – you know what I mean?
It depends on how malicious your intent is, because, you know, you think about the Shaq and Charles back and forth.
That's getting old.
And that got a little testy, but I think TNT kind of – They let it go to a certain extent, and then they kind of stepped in.
Yeah.
It would be phenomenal television, but it would be something that could be
memorable.
Yes, in a train wreck type of way, if they just don't let those two guys see each other, and then all of a sudden go, hey, pregame, next, Steve Smith and Michael Irvin are going to break that. Just let it go.
Right. Hey, couple of texts real quick. Okay. Welcome back, Nick. That seems to be the theme on the text line, by the way.
Much appreciated. Much appreciated.
Everybody's glad you're back. There was this one. Yay, Nick is back. Dilly dilly. I know Joel loves that.
Nick, have you, in all your worldly travels of the last couple of weeks, are you in tune with this Bud Light Dilly Dilly commercial?
I am not, honestly.
Okay.
Okay, you're going to have to get up to speed. Maybe during the break you can find one of the Dilly Dilly commercials on I said early on, Barry and I were talking about it yesterday, and I said, you know, early on it was funny. Then I saw athletes and others on social media trying to use it as like their go-to sign-off, or like when they drop a one-liner. And now it's just like manure. It's all over the place. And the fertilizer has already spread and grown too far, in my opinion.
It's funny because usually I'm the guy complaining about stuff and acting like the old man.
Well,
but
see,
it's you this
you've
time.
Worn off on me.
I like it. I like
just
it.
Like when you were talking about those people that, you know, when you some people don't take a joke well. And I'm like, you deal with that every day. That I resemble that remark, and I know it. I admit it. So that's
actually
fine.
I wasn't even thinking about that, but that's a good point.
Yeah, completely right.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I like that, though. Yep. Does that mean you're going to fight me if I get to L.A.?
No, I mean, half the time, no one would want to wear your pants anyway. So unless you're wearing...
I wore my skinny jeans today.
Pants last night, too.
Were they bad?
They're just gray plaid, but they were kind of...
So they weren't that bad?
No, they were just like... They were heel-type... suit pants, gray with like a black plaid.
Okay, since we're on the topic, did you see the pictures of the Astros boarding the plane to head to L.A.?
Before game one, right?
Did you happen to see the picture of Alex Bregman's suit?
I did.
What was that?
They would call that a window pane plaid, Barry.
That was not handsome.
Altuve had one on, too. There were a lot of plaids.
Is that the new ringy dingy now?
It's pretty popular.
Am I old now?
It's pretty popular.
Because I don't wear a plaid suit like that?
Yeah, the window pane would be, instead of the tight plaid, it would be more like the bigger squares.
Do you have one of these suits?
I may or may not have one or two. No.
I don't know. I guess I'm old school. I've got a navy suit, I've got a black suit, and I have a gray suit. And then
at least you branch out in your colors.
And then I have a navy pinstripe and a black pinstripe, and that's it. Are
they double breasted?
Suits. No, they're not double breasted.
See how long do they last in your closet?
No, that's it. Like, I have five suits. That's it. I don't have all the checkers and the patterns and the gold suit.
Speaking of that, the other night I sent Murph a text.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Boy. The other night, if you were watching the Rockets game,
I bet Murph looked at Alex Bregman's suit and was just like, "Boy, that's lame. Look how simple that is."
The other night, Murph had one that looked. Okay, let me just say this. I sent him a text during a commercial break, and I said, "What time do you have to have that back to the florist so they could water it?" It looked like a rainforest with like black lapels and black trim. But it literally was like leaves and greens and everything. And I'm going, I have no idea what the hell was going on, whoever designed that jacket.
Well, you know who designed it.
Well, no, he didn't design it. He just put it in his store.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So I was like, boy, Murph's – he wasn't lying when we had him on the other day about he's pulling out all the stops again this year. But, yeah, that's not something that I could pull off.
No.
So we got a little football in, and then the other news of the day in football, I don't know if you saw this or not, but the owner of the Texans had a little something to say when that meeting took place between the owners and NFL and the Players Association. I want to get your take on it after the fact, but I'm trying to pull it up right now.
I was watching, so I'm prepping this morning and I'm watching TV and they're talking about those owner meetings and some of the things that I heard that was said. Now, obviously, I wasn't there. I don't know. But these are the things that I heard that I think is some of it good, some of it bad. Number one, the guy commenting said that Goodell actually came out looking really well in this whole process of this owner's meeting, this owner/players meeting, because Goodell really is kind of taking the side of the players. And I think in general people are saying, well, at least he's not just towing the corporate line and he's being more open to both sides of the debate, which is something that's rare for Goodell to begin with. But they talked about that, you know, they talked about the owners-only meeting later, which is where McNair got in trouble. It wasn't at the players' meeting. They later had an owners-only meeting. And a couple of things that I found interesting about that he said is, one, the last owners-only meeting, Jerry Jones wasn't invited. And the reason was because he takes over the meetings and they don't want him there. And Goodell was going to be there. So he's like, no, you can't come because we don't get anything done. All you do is talk. So he's at this one. And then that's, of course, when Bob McNair messes up this time around, because it wasn't just owners, it's NFL executives. And part of the NFL executives is a player representative for the executive committee, Troy Vincent. So that's when McNair got into trouble. You have the quote, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing was that he used the term, we don't want the inmates running the asylum.
Right.
And he now has subsequently had to come out with an apology and basically has said, you know, and I'm trying to find the exact quote for you other than that, but his quote that ESPN is using is, we can't have the inmates running the prison. So now you've heard the say, everybody's heard the saying in the past.
Right.
But especially, it's a volatile situation as it is. We all know that everything with these protests and everything that's going on has been a huge point of contention. Obviously, these meetings are taking place. But on the flip side,
so where do you stand on it?
It's tough because here's the thing. It's not like he did it in a public forum. He's using it as he's trying to have a passionate dialogue with people inside a room, not for public consumption, but to try and express an opinion. But he obviously used the terminology could have been better, and he used inappropriate terms for the situation.
Yeah, that's the thing, is he used a common phrase, so I don't think there was any malicious intent. Because I've heard this in business environments where you're
absolutely
a manager and you're not managing appropriately, and they'll tell you, you can't let the inmates run the asylum, you can't let the inmates run the prison. I've heard it said both ways, but it's a common phrase, but I think his timing is what bit him. Using it in that environment was probably not the smartest thing to do. And, you know, so I feel bad for the guy, but you know what I mean? Sometimes you gotta plan your words appropriately, I guess.
So he's come out and apologized, but in this particular meeting, ESPN's reporting, it was NFL executives, players, and owners, and the stir was created by McNair, ESPN Seth Wickersham, and Don Van Natta. Spoke with several people familiar with what went on inside the closed-door meeting and said McNair, along with Jerry Jones and Daniel Snyder of the Redskins, were amongst the handful of team owners who would support a league-wide mandate forcing players to stand for the anthem. When Jones and Snyder were stating their cases for the mandate, McNair came out with the remark. Now, this is where it gets interesting, too. I don't know if you saw this, but Lisa actually sent this to me. In a week in which we're all asking questions about Dwayne Brown.
Uh-huh.
Debbie Brown, Dwayne's wife.
Okay.
Tweeted this within the last hour. My husband has put his body and mind on the line for your team for 10 years, and to you, he is a quote-unquote inmate. You owe these players respect and support.
I don't know if I can agree on this one. I usually do. I'm usually in the camp siding with the players and the insensitivity, but I feel like this is just a phrase used at a poor time.
I feel like that is going to stir it up regardless.
Yep.
And especially because of how volatile the situation is with Dwayne Brown right now. And now, when we started talking about Dwayne Brown, is he going to play? Is he going to get traded? Well, that could be an interesting topic again now, because whether they had something decided before or not, you know how that camp runs inside the offices at Kirby. That could make it pretty darn interesting. With that, we hear the music in the background. That means we'll take another break. We'll come back, start getting into World Series Game 3 tonight at Minute Maid Park as the juice box will be rocking. The roof will be closed. J.J. Watt will be throwing out the first pitch, and a sea of orange will hopefully lead your Astros to victory. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. More of the usual suspects coming right up, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's The Usual Suspects. The band is back together. We're not all in the same room, but we are the band of brothers that is back on the same show, on the same airwaves that make it all happen. It's Barry, it's Joel here at Revelry, 1613 Richmond Avenue at Dunleavy, and back at the studio, our man is back, Nick Sciarra. We love our brother, and we are glad he is back with us as we get off with an FEF Friday in hour number one. We were talking before the break about the McNair situation, and we kind of gave you a breather from World Series talk, not that you needed one, but everyone's been talking about it. But it's time to get down to some brass tacks and get to some business, because we are a couple hours away from, I don't want to say a deciding game, but it's a very big game in the series, obviously, as the first game at
Minute Maid Park. Huge game. The hugest, the biggest, the very hugest game. That's my Trump. That's all I got.
I thought that's what you were doing, okay. But that I was sucked. Looking at your hair the entire
time. It sucked. I know. It sucked, all right?
You got
it
nothing sucked. on Alec Baldwin?
What? Yeah, no. I don't do good impressions. So that one, obviously.
No, you do some spot-on Morgan Freeman. And
oh, my gosh. Other things. Do you want to get these calls?
Yeah, let's get some calls. But first of all, let's get a shout-out and congratulations. Thomas Zufelt?
Thomas Zufelt.
Thomas, what come on up. You just won yourself some Aggies tickets.
Come tickets on for down. You, sir.
Congratulations. All you got to do is enter to win here at Revelry on Richmond, and you can win some prizes.
Yay. Thomas, you a big Aggies fan? Oh, my God. Well, that went out over the air. He said he hates A&M. Well,
you're wearing maroon and white.
There you go. Glad we could help.
Kevin Sumlin will be here in about 10 minutes to talk to Thomas about converting him.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, now it's getting dirty. Now
where is the Garth Brooks song, Friends in Low Places When You Need It?
Oh, woo. Boy.
All righty. So with that, why don't we get some calls, Barry?
Benny, what's up? That sounds like Barry.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, man?
I wanted to chime in with my opinion on the Bob McNair thing with this owners meeting. I'm trying to connect a few dots here. I'm often wrong, so just feel free to let me know if I'm just out in left field on this one.
Okay.
The report that I was reading from it, and I can't quote it verbatim, so I'm going to try to paraphrase. To me, the big takeaway from it was what happened after the inmates running the prison comment, and there was a huge exchange, and that the discussion came whenever there was an owner stood up and said that it's not the players who are responsible, but the he and the owners are the ones responsible for building the $15.1 billion a year of industry, and ultimately we are going to be the ones that decide what's going on. I don't know if I'm exacting that quote, but to me, that's the big part of that meeting that's being buried with the Bob McNair chalkboard material with the talk, the inmate, prison, comment. It's a turn of phrase. It's something that's so common that I really can't bat an eye to it, and I don't even see how there can be anything more than to try to stir something from really a throwaway comment. I think we all understood what he was meaning from that. The dot that I'm trying to connect here is that there's been a lot of pressure from the NFL, the players' union, and from the public, where Colin Kaepernick has not been involved in these discussions. And most recently, I read that Colin Kaepernick will be invited to the next meeting.
That is correct.
If we have owners standing up and they're getting in a heated exchange with these player reps behind closed doors, as you mentioned, not for public consumption, and the big takeaway for me is them saying, look, ultimately, we owners are going to be the ones who make this call. So it has nothing to do with the players' opinions. It's almost like they're just doing a, for lack of a better phrase, a circle jerk for the public to let them feel as though that the players have some involvement, when ultimately the owners do not see the players as any sort of significant piece to the $15.1 billion industry that they claim to be solely responsible for creating. That's my opinion on it.
Appreciate the call, Benny. I mean, you bring up some valid points, and I haven't seen what you're talking about. I haven't seen a transcript. I didn't bother reading it.
I got some of it here for
because
you.
Because I think there's a lot of it that gets lost in there. But, I mean, if that's the case, if the owners are staking claim to the fact that they're the ones that built the NFL, I would have a problem with that as a player, because you're not the ones. You're putting up your capital, which is pretty common in business, but the players are the ones that are putting their body on the line week in and week out.
Reggie Bush was out on Twitter. I saw Reggie Bush on Twitter that a couple of fans had said that, like, if you don't think that this is all about the fact that the real story here is the owners, it's the owners' game, it's the owners' teams, it's the owners' league, and the owners are going to dictate what makes it go. And Reggie Bush was like, easy, Chief. Without the players, you don't have a league.
Yep.
And you're
sadly
mistaken.
Well, you do, but it's scrubs and nobody wants to watch it.
Then you're looking at what,
USFL and it shuts down.
Or whatever, the XFL. But, you know, and just to give you some context, they said that people in the room were stunned when McNair made the statement. That former player and head of the Players Association, Troy Vincent, took extreme where was the exact quote? But he was obviously not pleased with the comment. He took exception to it. He said during his players' playing days, despite hearing a number of derogatory terms like the N-word thrown his way, he did not think that that was the appropriate terminology. McNair later apologized, and it was getting nasty. Vincent and Jerry Jones had a sharp exchange, and Jones finally reminded the room that rather than the league office vice presidents, it was he and fellow owners who had helped build the NFL's $15 billion a year business. Now, let's think about this. The context to Benny's call, the context of this meeting was, can we all as a group figure out a way in which we can give the players a platform, commercials and broadcasts and other things, so that they don't feel like they have to use the anthem, and so that the owners feel like with making the exceptions by giving commercial time and other things, that they can reach the compromise in which the anthem isn't the focal point, so that they can try and get their business back on track, because they know what kind of reaction this has had nationwide since they've been doing it during the anthem.
I think what this all comes down to, I mean, sadly, it's obviously a split camp. You know what I mean? On one side, you got the owners. I don't think that the owners, and I'm just giving an opinion here. I can't speak for any of the NFL owners. But if I were to guess about a bunch of billionaires that are probably couldn't be further removed from what it means to be an African-American male in this country right now, probably care less about giving them the opportunity than they do about costing themselves revenue.
They're just worried about their pocketbook. Couldn't agree more.
And I think that they're doing this to, you know, they've got these players and they've got this product, which is the NFL. And so they know, well, we've got an extended olive branch, but we also have to protect our interests. And I think that's what Jerry Jones' whole point is look, you're costing us money. Sponsors don't like this. Now you're starting to mess with our pocketbooks, and it's bothering us. And I think that, you know, that they're like, hey, let's come to a compromise so that we can figure that out. The motive is where I think that you'll see some folks getting hung up. If the motive was genuinely, we care about you, and what you're saying, and we want to give you a platform to do that, I think it will be different. But I think that a lot of people can see through that and say, you only care, or you're only offering this because you don't want it to affect your bottom line.
And like Jerry Jones specifically, because he's in a rock and a hard place because he's been a huge Trump supporter. And he's in bed with Trump in so many ways that he doesn't want – in one, he's getting a lot of pressure from Trump. And that's why we see the conflicting quotes from Jerry Jones. One week it's, if any of my players do this, they're benched, they're not going to play, they're done. Then he said, no, I never said that. But then 2 weeks later, he basically came out and said that directly. So he's going – he's sitting on the fence going back and forth too. But with that, let's get Fort Worth Jay in here real quick before we hit up the top of the hour break. What's up, Jay?
All right, what's up, fellas? I want to make this – you know, quick, and I want to make sure I'm real clear on this. There's a part of this that y'all are missing, and Dwayne Brown's wife did touch on it. I remember when Katrina hit, and Barbara Bush visited the Astrodome, and all those people relocated, and she unmaliciously said on camera, this is actually a better place for them to be than their living conditions before Katrina in New Orleans. She didn't mean anything malicious by it, but in her mind, she actually thought that this was a good thing because she wasn't there. She doesn't get it. When he said that, he literally referred to 70% of the NFL as inmates. Now, yeah, I know what the original phrase was and all that, but coming off the heels of y'all's president calling a league full of men SOBs, coming off of what's going on between the players and the owners, the perception of NFL teams and stadiums being plantations now because their players are being told, you can't speak up on your people getting murdered because it's taken away from our bottom line. It's kind of like you can't speak up on what's right. So when he said that, knowing that prisons are predominantly black and most wardens are predominantly white and the people that run those prisons don't look like the predominantly prisoners, black people heard that and they were like, here we go again.
Well,
a secret that we were taught as kids. Now, I'll let y'all talk. A secret we were taught as kids is that you're going to learn as you get older, there's a certain nationality of people who run the institutions that run this country, and they have the money. And people with money and power can say and do majority of what they want. And at the end of the day, there's no repercussions for it. Like right now, we're saying, no, he just meant inmates sitting on the
inside. Take a break once.
Jay, here's the only thing that I have that I would dispute with what you're saying, and I tend to agree with you from the standpoint of it being inappropriate at the time. But the problem with your argument as far as Barbara Bush goes is she didn't use a common phrase. Saying that their living conditions are better now than they were before where they used to live, that's not a common phrase. That's ignorance.
Yep.
What he used is a common phrase in everyday language. He just used it at an inappropriate time.
I couldn't agree more with that.
I mean, I just don't think you can draw that comparison because it's not. Now, if you want to use another example where someone used a common phrase at an inappropriate time and it made them look ignorant or sound ignorant, I'm all for that. But she was just ignorant in that moment. It had nothing to do with linguistics and how you used a common phrase.
Right, and I'm with you. And look, we love Fort Worth Jay, but calling him our president, easy now, Chief.
Yeah,
slow your roll.
Yep. I'm not endorsing anybody.
That's another topic for another day, show.
I get the implications. All right, guys. I'm excited to tell you about Academy and the Astros because we all know the Astros are out there earning history. That's been their slogan. And they're in the World Series. They're celebrating. And they're back home in front of you, and you need to get out there and support the team, but you need to do that with your gear. And the best place to get Astros gear is at Academy Sports and Outdoors. They keep it freshly stocked, so if you go out there and you think they're not going to have what you need, think again. They're stocking it daily. They're stocking it by the hour because things are selling so quickly because our Astros are in the World Series that they're going to have it all for you. They're going to have all your Astros apparel stocked every day. Whether you're lucky enough to get to the game or not, you know you want to go out there and support your team. I've got my Astros shirt on right now. You got to get a hat. You got to get whatever you can get to Academy and get it right now. Support the home team. Listen, they've got a ton of stuff for you. They've got the sweatshirts. They've got the World Series shirts. They've got the Astros shirts, hats, whatever you need. Get out there, get it. And because it's all about supporting the home team. It's all about showing our support. LA did their thing. We got to do our thing. So for all things Astros, stop by your local Academy today. Academy Sports and Outdoors is the official sporting goods retailer of the Houston Astros.
Life, and nothing has been all right since we So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.